Hey, and welcome to Sunday Replay for the service at Harmony Tulika Lake on August 4th, 2024. I'm your host, Donna Miller, and this week we wrapped up our sermon series, Living a Meaningful Life, with back-to-back messages from Pastor Mark and Rev Jefferson. Let's kick it off with a reflection called Always Do Your Best. Here's Rev J.
We conclude today exploring Don Miguel Ruiz's book, The Four Agreements. And so I'm going to share the morning message with Pastor Mark, who will share from the second book, The Fifth Agreement. So the part of this chapter from the fourth agreement that I want to share today is on always do your best. And Don Miguel writes at the very beginning of this chapter, your best is never going to be the same from one moment to the next. Everything is alive and it is changing all the time. And so your best will sometimes be high quality, and other times it will not be as good. So I sat with that statement for a while, looking at it in the book. And as I was looking at it, it reminded me of a sermon I heard recently from my dear friend, the Reverend Sidney Lehman Steen, who, when she asked her congregation, are you prayed up? Are you prayed up? And as I heard these words, it reminded me of when I was growing up, and I used to hear in church all the time people asking, are you prayed up? And to be honest, I wasn't quite sure as a little boy what that meant. I thought, well, I'm not sick right now, so do I need to pray? I don't have to pray that I will ace that American history exam because the assignment has not yet been given. And everything seems to be going really cool in our family. My little brother is not being especially annoying. Although, that was one that could often use a little bit of attention. Now, I have to follow that by saying, I love my little brother. I just didn't want him hanging out with me and my friends all the time. So I want to ask you this morning, think about it. Are you prayed up? We live in a world of the perfect and the imperfect. And we see our spiritual world as this beautiful, perfect place. And we see the material world as being very imperfect. And I think all too often we place ourselves wholly and completely in the material world. And we think this in our minds, and it becomes our beliefs and what we expect. And it creates, in doing that, a separation between us and Spirit God. Sometimes I think we do feel very in tune with Spirit. Other times, Spirit, and if you think about it in your own life, have there been those times when Spirit felt very far away? And when we feel that way, we feel that we're sort of out in limbo, that we are off on our own, having to try to navigate the stuff of life. But in truth, there is no separation between us and God. No separation. Yes, the us, our humanity and our conscious minds and our thoughts and our physical being, can be very active. Our thoughts can sometimes be too active. And have your thoughts ever gotten you in a bit of trouble? Okay, you can be honest with me. We're all in church here. The doors are locked. You can, you daily, thank you. I don't need the rest of this now. You, sir. our minds, when they run amok, can get us to trip all over ourselves as we seek to go forward in our lives. But in our humanity, in all of its beautifully constructed ways, we can realize that our humanity is always, at its core, the substance of spiritual creativity. And this spiritual creativity has chosen to manifest in human expression as you and you and you. And did I leave anybody out? No. Thank you. Yes, and me. And believe me, ministers have to remind ourselves of these things as well. And I think sometimes when we write this, we're writing what is scheduled to be said on Sunday morning, but we are also writing what we need to hear. We really do. I'm going to confess that right now. Spirit is pure, divine energy, and it is vibration. And it is always seeking opportunities to express. And how does that spirit express? Well, it expresses through you. And yes, thank you, through me. And as I have often said here, and I have said in the podcasts, and I have said in meditations over and over again, we are spiritual beings, and we are having this beautiful human experience. Cherish that. Lean into that. Love that. Gaddison spoke of love this morning. It is a pure energy and a vibration of pure, pure love. So what I truly know is that in this human experience, that we need never think that we are without a foundation of spiritual support. Because in truth, we are not. It's there. Spirit, and our humanity are one creation. We are each, every one of us, a divine idea in the mind of God. Think of that, a divine idea in the mind of God. And that divine idea is whole and it is perfect and it is complete at this and every moment that we breathe. And it is always seeking creative expression. And it is seeking creative expression through each of us. And we are given the gift of choice. And if we choose, we can channel that action of spirit in positive, and we can channel it in affirming ways. We're given the gift of choice. Does that seem sometimes like it's too much responsibility for God to lay on us? I think not. Maybe at times we don't trust ourselves, but guess what? God does. God trusts you, and God will pick you up when you fall down and go boom. Our continued connection with Spirit God, for me, is so very important. And so in this chapter of Don Miguel's book, he writes a story, and I love this story. He said, there was a man who wanted to transcend his suffering. So he went to a Buddhist temple to find a master to help him. And he went to the master and he said, Master, if I meditate 4 hours a day, how long will it take me to transcend? The master looked at him. And the master said, if you meditate 4 hours a day, perhaps you will transcend in 10 years. And thinking that he could do better, he then asked, well, what if I meditated 8 hours a day? How long would it take me to transcend? And the master looked at him and he said, if you meditate 8 hours a day, you will transcend in 20 years. Oy. But why would it take longer if I meditate more? The man said. And the master replied, You were not here to sacrifice your joy in life. You are here to live your life and to be happy and to love. If you can do your best in 2 hours of meditation, but you spend 8 hours, you will grow tired. You will miss the point, and you won't enjoy your life. Do your best, and perhaps you will learn that no matter how long you meditate, you can live, you can love, and you can be happy. For me, this story illustrated so beautifully what it means to be prayed up. Celebrating our perfection and our imperfection does not require sitting in the lotus position for hour upon hour. What it does for us is remind us that the time that we do spend in prayer and in meditation, be it 5 minutes, be it a half an hour, or just being in the full present experience of one breath will remind us and reaffirm our connection with all that is Spirit God living in and through and as us at this and at every moment. We are never alone. We are never alone. We can never be alone. For Spirit God is right with us at this and every moment. And that perfect in the world is the truth of our being spiritual beings. The imperfect of our humanness and the perfect of our spiritual selves is forever merging, stronger and stronger in our beautiful humanity. And in this beautiful thing that we call life. It will allow us to grow and evolve and become still more if we participate in that process with that energy and that vibration of perfect spirit. And so we've prayed, we've meditated, and we have breathed truth into our lives. What's next? We take action. We take action. We get up and we move our feet. We journey forward taking action, knowing that we are supported and guided, that we are inspired and encouraged by a foundation of spiritual trust and faith that is ever flowing and is ever without end. There's always more to discover. That's what this glorious thing that we call life is all about. There's still more to discover. There's still more to have the adventure of seeing around each and every moment that we live. And as we do that, we find wonder in this beautiful life that we have. So as I was thinking of this, I thought of a verse from the book of Acts, and it says, "For in spirit we live and move and have our being, as even some of your poets have said, for we too are Spirit God's offspring." Spirit God's offspring. How can it get better than that? Spirit God is the core of our very DNA. It is our life force, and it is our every breath. Seen in this way, as I looked at it in this way, I understand what it means to be prayed up now. We each may define that a little differently, but I think the results are the same, that we are reminded that with whatever we go through, that through it all, we do not do it alone. We do our best through a foundation of spirit. That foundation of spirit within you that wins every time. Namaste.
It's halftime, and that means I get to let you know about upcoming events and opportunities here at Harmony. First up, this week we will have Friday Fun Night from 6:30 to 9:30 p.m. in Harmony's Fellowship Hall. This month's theme is Trivia Night, so gather your good friends who know stuff, some snacks if you want, and test your mettle in the very first Harmony Trivia Championship hosted by Reverend Jefferson Beaker. Secondly, this week is your last opportunity to contribute to our goal of raising $200 for the Hollywood Food Coalition. All donations must be made by this Sunday, August 11th. This will enable us to buy over 80 pounds of basmati rice, which is desperately needed. If you're giving online, be sure to choose the Missions at Harmony selection from the drop-down menu. Finally, don't forget about the many small groups that offer fun and fellowship, including Dining Out with Harmony, Soul Fuel, and our women's group for both campuses, UWF, or United Women in Faith. In fact, the UWF Book Club have begun discussing a new book, Diane Wilson's The Seed Keeper, a novel about a Dakota family's struggle to preserve their way of life. It's not too late to join the discussion. They meet on Zoom Monday evenings at 6 p.m., and the remaining dates are August 12th, 26th, and September 9th and 23rd. Check the e-news for the meeting ID or for more information on this and all the upcoming events at Harmony and HUMC. You can also direct your questions for Pastor Mark to mark@hollywoodumc.org. Now let's get back to Pastor Mark as he gives the second message. Be skeptical, but learn to listen.
All righty, here we go. You ready? Number two. The parable from Matthew chapter 13, verses 1 through 9 and 18 through 23. Now, we heard that read by Annie Bunchy, the lovely Annie Bunchy, and it has such gravitas. It has such meaning behind it. And actually, it is a parable with a number of meanings. It's insights that reveal themselves at different times and moments in our lives. And this happens each and every time that we open up the Bible and we read a passage. It brings on something new to us. And it did this time in the receiving of the story in which Jesus first shared this with the crowds. And then later, he then adds more insight for his disciples. Now, in what is known, this is known as the parable of the sower. And we're coupling this with Don Miguel Ruiz's fifth agreement. And the fifth agreement is be skeptical, but learn to listen. And we are invited, friends, into a deeper understanding of how we receive and then we nurture truth. So you got this parable and the sower, and Jesus describes the sower, and the sower is out there and is scattering seeds. Right. And so as he's scattering seeds, it falls on different types of soil. There's some on the road. There's some on gravel. There's some goes into the weeds. And there's some that lands in good soil, good earth. Now, what does each type of soil represent? Well, now, this is how we as individuals, we receive the grace-filled word of the kingdom of God. Now, some seeds, if we go along with the story, some seeds are eaten up. Some seeds, well, they're snatched away. Some seeds are choked. The word's just choked and they wither. And then some seeds, well, they produce a harvest beyond our wildest dreams and our imaginations. And Jesus explains this, and it's so important for us that the seeds that are cast on good soil, the good earth, is like those who hear the word and understand it. They let it ruminate within them, and thereby it bears good fruit. Now, what I like in this parable is verse 9. Verse 9 of the scripture passage, and Jesus is stressing out two questions, and it is, are you listening to this? Really listening? Now, wait a minute. I get the listening part of this. That makes sense to me. However, all right, Don Miguel, really skepticism? Skepticism, isn't skepticism a bad thing? maybe even unchristian skepticism? Well, not necessarily in the sense that Don Miguel conveys in this agreement. However, skepticism can be misconstrued. And so I just want you to shout out some things that you think when you hear the word skeptic or skepticism that's in a negative context. What do you got? Anybody? Uh-huh. Yeah. Doubt, bad faith. Judgment. Anything else come up with skepticism?
Coward.
Closed-minded. Yeah, exactly. And so these can be a misconstrued skepticism is like this person doubts everything. Oh my gosh. Oh, how do you hang out with a doubter all the time? They're nothing but negative squared, cloud of doubt. You just want to stay away from them. Someone is always searching for flaws. Someone that's closed-minded and rigid. Someone that's untrusting. They may even be dismissive. That's the negative context. So what is this fifth agreement? Be skeptical, but learn to listen. Invite us to do so that we don't fall into this trap of being misconstrued. Friends, it's to approach life with a discerning heart. To respectfully question the information that we receive in a balanced and conscious way, while all the time remaining open. We want to be open for understanding. We want to be open for wisdom. Now, for example, on July 21st, I shared about the third agreement, and the third agreement is don't make assumptions. Yes? So if we follow this principle, skepticism, in this case, as Don Miguel expresses, is a tool for constructive inquiry rather than negativity or cynicism. So what we're encouraged to do is we're encouraged to question assumptions so that we uncover deeper truths. Yeah? And by doing this, what we're doing is we're promoting a mindset of curiosity. That's what we want within ourselves, while we're also learning. And by questioning external beliefs, by questioning societal norms, we can better understand our own truths, our own beliefs, which leads to a more authentic interaction with one another. Isn't that what we want? A more authentic interaction with one another? And so, friends, this fifth agreement isn't about rigid disbelief. Rather, this form of skepticism means we don't accept everything at face value. But at the same time, we have an open-minded approach to question the world around us. We recognize that all seeds, they're not meant for our growth. There's some seeds, they fall on rocky ground. There's seeds that fall among weeds and thorns. But it tells us that there are some messages and some beliefs that, you know what, it's just not conducive for our spiritual well-being. As Don Miguel asks in his book, why would you want to invest your faith in a message that isn't true? Great question. Now, some of you know that I recently took a trip to New York City. It was a very quick trip, and I love New York City. And while I was there, I was able to visit with a few delightful friends, which included a couple of amazing individuals that are part of this community here. They join online, and hello to you online as well. And they support our Affirming Faith community from afar. And as I've mentioned to you in previous messages, when I travel, I love when I'm in a city to go to a museum. I love experiencing that because it gives me a flavor of the city. And what it does is it helps feed my soul. It helps feed my creative spirit. And this particular trip, hey, it was no different. And so what I did was I set aside time to drop by MoMA. And this is the Museum of Modern Art in New York City. And as I journeyed through MoMA, and this is the second time I've been in this museum, I came across a piece of art that incorporated the words from Dr. Martin Luther King. And it came from his collection of sermons and essays. And it was in a book entitled Strength to Love. And As I looked at this piece of art, and it's too large for the TV screen, so I decided not to do that. But when I looked at this piece of art, my breath got taken away by a quote. By a quote. And the reason why my breath got taken away is suddenly I went, whoa, this fits perfectly into this fifth agreement. And so here's the quote of to be skeptical, but learn to listen. This is what Dr. Martin Luther King said. This prevalent tendency towards soft-mindedness is found in man's unbelievable gullibility. Take our attitude toward advertisements. We are so easily led to purchase a product because a television or radio advertisement pronounces it better than the other. Advertisers have long since learned that most people are soft-minded, and they capitalize on this susceptibility with skillful and effective slogans. This undue gullibility is also seen in the tendency of many readers to accept the printed word of the press as final truth. Few people realize that even our authentic channels of information, the press, the platform, and in many instances, the pulpit, do not give us objective and unbiased truth. Few people have the toughness of mind to judge critically and to discern the truth from the false, the fact from the fiction. Our minds are constantly being invaded by legions of half-truths, prejudices, and false facts. One of the great needs of mankind is to be lifted above the morass of false propaganda. End quote. Be skeptical, but learn to listen. Faith community, this is using that part of our brain that allows us to scrutinize what we hear, to listen, to have the toughness of mind to judge critically and to discern the truth from the false, the fact from the fiction. And if we perceive what we perceive, it actually survives our scrutiny. We say, yeah, yes. But if it doesn't, we say, no. Consider today's scripture passage from Matthew 13. If you look at that chapter prior, so you go to chapter 12, what happens? What happens is the Pharisees, they don't want to listen. They really don't want to listen to Jesus. They're closed-minded. They're rigid in their beliefs. They're unwilling to hear what Jesus has to say. No, Jesus, no. Don't want to hear you. What they want to do is they want to choke out the word. And they want to choke out the seeds of grace, love, and mercy. Thus, their hearts are hardened. And what follows after this parable and other parables are shared, what happens is that Jesus goes to his hometown, Nazareth. And what happens there? Jesus experiences the hardness of heart in those people as well, the hard soil that he talks about in this message, because his message, his presence is rejected by his hometown. The people's disbelief and their doubting block their hearing so badly that they couldn't and wouldn't truly listen. Having a mindset of curiosity wasn't in play. Not at all. Interesting how that bookends around this parable, how hard it is to listen and be open to receiving the word and having a mindset of curiosity. How do we move forward then with this fifth agreement? How do we apply it to our everyday lives? Well, practically, just as farmers, they cultivate soil. And this happens in my background. Farmers, they cultivate the soil. And why do they cultivate the soil? It's to optimize growth. And so we too must cultivate our minds and our hearts to be receptive and discerning. We need to prepare our inner landscape to receive and nurture the seeds of wisdom and truth. And what that happens is it then leads us to a richer and more fruitful life. So one practical way is mindful listening. to let us be mindfully to listen. And so what this means is when we're in conversations, what we want to do in the conversations is we want to actively listen. Actively listen. And let's put ourselves in a place to seek to understand before responding. How often does that happen when you're in a conversation, suddenly somebody interrupts you? You didn't get that full thought out. It can be hard to do being in a conversation, just listening. That's the reason why we've got to practice. And with mindful listening, what this means is we're giving the other person our full attention. And if needed, in that conversation, and when the person has been talking with you, and after they finish, what we do is we can ask clarifying questions so that we have better understanding. That way there's no miscommunication. That way we don't assume, right? And if you need to, it doesn't hurt to summarize what you just heard from the other person, because what that does is it ensures understanding. Second thing that we can do practically is critical thinking. Whew, critical thinking, which goes back to what Dr. Martin Luther King was telling us. And it's what he was stressing is because developing critical thinking, friends, and skills is when we are questioning assumptions. We evaluate evidence. We consider multiple perspectives. And by doing this, it helps us discern what the truth is from falsehood. Is everything that you read on Facebook and social media true? No. No, right? Is everything that you see on the internet absolute fact? No, right? So rather than being led down a path like a bunch of sheep, let's carefully evaluate what's being posted or said so we can make informed decisions and not just jump at it and immediately go, "Ooh, I'm going to get them." It's like, get in there for the truth. And what this does is it also means that we have to question our own thoughts, our own beliefs. Critical thinking is giving the chance to see what is true for you, for me, for us. And one other way is to prepare our inner landscape by embracing a mindset of lifelong learning. Keep learning. Be open to new ideas. It doesn't matter how old you are. Keep it up. Get those viewpoints and expand your viewpoints and your experiences. And what it does is it helps you, it helps all of us by critically assessing the value and relevance in our lives. Continuously learn, friends. As we reflect on these five agreements in the series, as we're now bringing it to a close, that Don Miguel Ruiz has gifted us, we find, friends, a roadmap. And it's a roadmap that helps us to see the good soil and to live into the good soil of what Jesus is talking about. So as a summary, first agreement, be impeccable with your word. Speak with integrity and let your words speak truth as well as love. Second agreement is don't take anything personally. Understand that the actions of others, that's on them. That's their own. It's not a reflection of your worth. Third agreement is don't make assumptions. Seek clarity and understanding rather than jumping to conclusions. Fourth agreement, as Rev Jefferson talked about today, is always do your best. Accept that your best varies with circumstances, but all the while strive to give it your all, each moment of your life. And then the fifth one is be skeptical, but learn to listen. Question the messages that you receive while you're also remaining open to divine truth. Harmony Faith Community, these agreements, they guide us in how to live meaningful lives authentically and compassionately, and they help us prepare the soil of our hearts and our minds, thereby ensuring that when the divine sower scatters seeds, we are then ready to receive them and nurture them in this good soil. And in the receiving and the nurturing, may we then bear abundant fruit in not only our lives, but in the lives of others. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Sunday Replay, here on the Harmony Podcast Network, produced and recorded by me, Donna Miller. This week's guests were Reverend Jefferson Beaker and Pastor Mark Stevenson. Be sure to like, rate, subscribe, and especially to download these episodes, which helps us to continue making content for you and the rest of our listeners. Sunday Replay is sponsored in part by Hollywood United Methodist Church, of which Harmony Tulik Lake is the second campus. Find us on social media and drop us a comment on Facebook at HarmonyTL and on Instagram at Harmony_TLC. Join with us next week on Brunch and Learn Sunday as we begin a new and unconventional sermon series called Bad Ass Women of the Bible, with a message from Pastor Mark, a learned portion featuring Dr. Richard Follett Jr., and, as Pastor Mark always likes to say, peace.